Treasury Star Parade. Produced under the personal direction of William A. Bacher, with David Brookman and the Treasury Orchestra, and Mr. Lowell Thomas, in Violet Atkins' stirring drama, Education for Victory. All the scenes in this drama are taken from the records of the American-Russian Institute.
This is a story about the children of Russia, but it is essentially the story of Grisha Golubov. I first met Grisha on a train running between Moscow and Kazan. A class of young boys and girls boarded the train with their teacher. Since Germany had made war on Russia, I had seen many such groups going to help with the harvesting on collective farms, helping families of Russian soldiers, building barricades, and they always sang. They were singing now. A thoughtful-looking boy with deep, dark eyes and a sensitive mouth sat down next to me. He looked about 14, and he seemed eager to talk.
I'm Grisha Golubov. You're an American, aren't you?
Yes, I told him, a newspaper man. Just now I'm getting some stuff for a book. Grisha's eyes lit up. I saw lively interest in the faces of the other children as they crowded round.
What kind of a book?
On what's happening to kids all over the world in this war. What they're doing in the war.
We can tell you what we're doing in Russia. We work on the collective farms.
We give lectures on self-defense and air raid precautions.
We demonstrate the use of gas masks and how to put out incendiary bombs. It's part of the work of the young pioneers of Russia.
Very much like our Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in America.
Do our American cousins gather rags and ropes and wool and pieces of metal?
To feed the factories and help win the war?
Do the girls mind babies and take the place of nurses in hospitals?
Yarovna, Vodya. Children, the American gentleman cannot answer you all at once.
It's all right.
Do you also have Timur's gangs in America?
Well, what's that? It sounds like the Dead End Kids.
No, this is different. Timur was a boy in a book called Timur's Gang. Each boy in the book adopted a family of a soldier at war. We have these gangs all over Russia now. It makes it easier for men to fight when they know their families are cared for. I hate war. It kills so many things besides people. Look at the Dnieper Dam we had to blow up to stop the Germans. It cost so many million rubles and so many years of hard work. I hope our American cousins will never have to leave their homes or destroy their land to keep an enemy from having it.
With all my heart, I hope so, too. The train slowed to a stop, and they piled out. Grisha held out his hand.
I hope the war will be over soon and we will meet again. Perhaps you will come to Warszawa and see me.
I never saw Grisha's village, and the war was not over when I met him again. 4 months later, I was camping with a guerrilla detachment beyond Moscow. We heard the sentry outside.
Come in, men. You'll have to see the captain.
Into our tent came 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. Dirt, exhaustion, hunger lay like masks on their white faces.
These children say they've come to fight the Germans, Captain.
Where are you from, children?
The older boy stepped forward. The light fell on his gaunt face.
From the Warszawa village.
But Warszawa's over 100 kilometers from here.
Yes. We've been 3 weeks hiding in the forest from the Germans. Sleeping in trees sometimes.
I remembered him then. Warszawa was Grisha's village. I got up and turned the boy to face me. He recognized me, tried to smile, but his poor eyes.
You are the American we met on the train. Do you remember Borovna and Vadya?
Yes, I remembered them. Ruddy, laughing, not these gaunt, tragic, silent children.
I asked you then to come to Warszawa, but there is no Warszawa any longer. 3 weeks ago, the Germans came.
Don't worry of me. Stop it.
Let her cry, Vodya. She's been brave enough till now.
Grisha put his arm around Borovna. She kept up that tearless sobbing. And Vodya put his hands to his ears, shutting his eyes.
It is Sunday. My grandmother was sitting in front of the house with my sister Katya. She was six. My teacher, you remember her on the train. She lived with us. Borovna lived next door. Her mother had just had a baby. She was on a bed near the window. Borovna and Vodya and I were in the pasture milking our cow. We heard the drone of an aeroplane. And Katya and the other children ran into the middle of the road.
Look, a plane!
Listen,
what about our planes? It's coming down!
Stop shouting, Borovna! You're frightening the cow! Oh, I wish you wouldn't fly so low. Vodya! Vodya, Borovna, get down! Bob! Bob, you're under grandmother! On that!
Happened in a moment, Captain. Our village was so small. It took only two bombs. Where my grandmother's house was and Borovna's were, there was only a big hole. Nothing else.
That is what they do. Another of their filthy tricks. You'll be able to write this to your American newspapers. The German Luftwaffe uses a captured Russian plane to destroy a village that had no military use. What good did it do the German army to wipe out an old grandmother, a schoolteacher, some children, 100 old people in old houses? They'll pay for it. Never fear.
Yes, they will pay. We'll see to that. For my grandmother and little Katya.
For my mother and the new baby.
And for our teacher. Our teacher taught us not to hate. But now we hate.
I will forget many things before I forget those hard, unchildlike eyes. Those grim young voices that had once been so merry. Borovna, 13. Vodya, 12. Grisha, 14. The three children lifted their hands to their foreheads.
Blood for blood. Death for death.
Yes, men and women of America, that was the pledge Hitler put on the lips of children who had been taught not to hate. But hate now became their weapon. Hate of an aggressor who murdered innocent youth, burned peaceful homes, made children wanderers. We missed the children after a few days, and the captain cursed himself for not having sent them to the safety of a collective farm. But they returned, bringing two other tattered, hungry children with them. Borovna's arm was crudely bandaged, and Vodya limped, but there was fierce triumph in their eyes.
This is Semyon and his sister Vera from Duresa.
Здравствуйте.
So that's where you were. The Germans have been gathering tank units there for a big drive. Lucky for you, they didn't catch you.
They almost did. A bullet grazed Borovna's arm when a sentry heard a noise, and Vodya hurt his ankle running. But Semyon and Vera knew when the Germans planned to leave. We waited. They evacuated last night.
We could only have blown them up.
They won't roll far. Not those tanks, Captain.
What are you talking about? What did you do?
We waited till it was pitch black last night. Then we crawled under each tank and drained out all the oil. They started rolling soon after. They wouldn't discover it in the dark, not till their tanks stopped moving. By that time, the detachment we reported will have caught up to them.
Good work. I'll have you all sighted for this, a whole tank unit. Now you can go into the interior with us to the collective farm. You have avenged those you lost.
Not yet. That was only for my grandmother.
For my mother. I stay with them.
And I.
So they stayed with us. We almost forgot they were children. They never laughed or sang as they had on the train. From the beginning, Grisha was their leader, fiercely determined to find new ways of getting the better of the Germans. Yet he never lost sight of the future. The splendid future when the Germans would be gone from the soil of Russia, and children would be free again. Free to study, free to plan. Grisha was like a prophet at those times.
We will build up the Dnieper Dam again, and houses and factories bigger and better than before. The Germans cannot conquer Russia, even if they take it in little pieces. because each time they take a piece, we'll make them choke on it.
The wheat fields will be rich and golden again, and new villages will be built with new schoolhouses.
And there will be a new school teacher. She'll come into the class, as our teacher used to, and she'll say, "Well, boys, girls, where did we leave off?"
Always the beauty of the past, the hope for the future, cut off by the horror of the present. But Grisha and the others were determined to make their dream of the future come true. Time after time, the captain warned them to go back behind the lines where they would be safe. But to this, Grisha's reply always was,
"You cannot win the war without us, Captain."
And he seemed determined to make the captain believe it. His reports sounded like those of a veteran guerrilla fighter. More and more he went alone, as if he did not want to endanger the other children. Once he sent an engine down a siding, escaping like a monkey before it smashed into a troop train of German soldiers. Another time he set fire to a string of railway cars loaded with ammunition for the Germans. He was badly scorched that time. It seemed a miracle that he had escaped. The captain growled his relief.
"One day you'll lose your life, Grisha."
"Not till I have made them pay for all my friends, my village, for all the Russian children the German airmen murder for fun. We know now what they mean to do. They mean to wipe out the children of Russia so that there'll be no new generation to go on when our men are killed. But it'll take a long time to kill 60 million children."
But it took so little time to kill one. That night we heard the children's voices outside. They were weeping. We went out, and Grisha was not with them.
"Grisha,
he walked into a trap. Since he blew up the ammunition train, they must have been watching. We can show you where he lies."
We buried Grisha in his own village churchyard at the foot of the broken statue of the Virgin and Child, all that is left of the old church of Vershava. We raised no headstone for fear the Germans would defile it. They have good reason to hate his name. But I am writing his epitaph for the children of America. Grisha loved his American cousins. His hope, his dreams of a future delivered of slavery, are the hopes and dreams of all the children of the world. If his mother, his grandmother, his teacher were alive, they might speak for him as one bereaved Russian mother speaks to all the mothers of the world.
"Our children, dead and living, speak to yours across the oceans, across these battlefields, across the broken, ruined villages, and the dreary wastes that once were homes. Your children and ours will be the builders of a new world of freedom. Your hands and ours must be the hands that fashion their tools."
That is the story of the children of Russia. Thousands of miles may separate them from our children, but they are united by a common hope, a common need, the need of freedom and life. Their enemy is our enemy. Their struggle is our struggle. We will work together. We will fight together. And here in this country, we have another duty, the duty to save. Have you answered your war bond quota call? It calls for at least 10% of your total income invested in war savings, bonds, and stamps. At least 10% more if you can. This is the money which we must save to save America. It's your country. Keep it yours.